Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've had a three-day Memorial Day weekend to process good, bad, and dumb. So we bring it to you on the Tuesday edition of Wake Up Call. What is the good of the day?
There can only be one good of the day, good from the weekend, because we saw a lot of great soccer happen over the weekend. And probably the greatest has to go to Luton Town or Luton Town. I'm still not sure how to pronounce the beginning part of their name. Town, I understand how to pronounce. And who Luton Town is a new team that got promoted from the Championship Division up to the Premier League, where they're going to be playing against the big boys.
All right.
But what makes it very special is that 10 years ago, they were in the non-league or the National League, which was where Wrexham was.
Okay.
Where Wrexham started out. That's how I can describe it to you. They play in a 10,000-seat stadium. What makes their stadium also unique is that the back row of the stadium, like the main, part of their wall, is attached to houses.
Okay.
So, like, these houses are kind of built into the stadium.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
There's nothing.
So
they
you could
can
be
do.
Cooking eggs while a soccer match is going on.
Yeah, but
connected to your house.
Your house, but you don't have a window looking into the stands.
No, but you can feel.
But you can
the
feel
structure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is where the likes of, you know, the biggest clubs in all of England are going to be playing. Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United. It's a stadium literally built inside of a neighborhood.
Awesome. Good for them.
And, you know, for Luton Park or Luton Town, the promotion means for them that they will be getting paid $211 million across the next three seasons.
Okay,
and if they don't get relegated after one season, if they don't get relegated next year, that increases to $360 million.
So get them a new stadium.
That's kind of hard to come by because there's a lot of tradition.
Well, kick the people out and tear it down and build another one.
They have to put in $14 million into their stadium to renovate it, and that's just going to go probably to locker room.
Okay,
because
but don't they want
players.
More people?
Yes, and yes, I agree. I agree to what you're saying. That's,
I mean, you said 10,000.
But
I
it's
mean,
a very that's a very
South Carolina
American
baseball
thing.
Plays.
It would be like
in front of people.
But it would be like if you were to take.
Well, now hold on. Let's repeat
that. I got to put it to you this way. It would be like taking Fenway Park and saying Fenway Park is too small. We gotta tear this down or build a new stadium.
We gotta move you
to Foxborough.
Okay, but hold on. But Fenway Park isn't too small. But if it but if it was too small, the Red Sox would be playing somewhere else.
They would have to go. They would probably move to Foxborough, and that's right. Where Park is.
There's no nostalgia when the economics don't allow
right.
you. Like Wrigley Field's nice, but if the average Major League Baseball attendance was 80,000, Wrigley Field and Fenway Park wouldn't exist. It just wouldn't. We would go. Thank you for the memories. But we burned down Yankee Stadium. We tore that down. We will tear down these. So I get the nostalgia and I get the tradition and I get the hey, it's. But if they're now in a new league and only 10,000 people can come, don't they need more money? Don't they need more revenue? I mean, don't they need to say, look,
yeah.
we need to play in front of like that's just kind of the only way I'm looking at it. I mean, I get nostalgia and I get part of tradition and we've been playing here for 200 years. But at the same time, now that they're playing these teams, don't they want to maximize that opportunity? Like, it's one thing to play in the other leagues at that, but...
No, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm
and
saying?
They have proposed it several times, but it's been shot down every single time. And this is, I mean, it's funny. It's because they were one of the original Premier League teams.
Oh, I got you.
Way back in
okay.
the 1990s. Right. But they actually never got a chance to play in the Premier League. Because
okay.
they were relegated before it became the Premier League.
Okay.
So they were one of the teams that voted, yes, we should call ourselves the Premier League, but then they got relegated back in the mid-90s, and so
okay,
now
so
they finally made it back.
Oh, so
but
they
no,
made it
I,
back.
I agree. I mean, yeah, there's conversations. They've been having conversations like, hey, we should move state. But there is a history to these stadiums,
and
too.
I get it. But economics doesn't pay – history doesn't pay your
no,
economics.
No, I get that. Yeah, they
you know what I mean? Like, if only 10,000 people can come, they may be going to a historical place, but only 10,000 people are there. Right. You can only, you know, you're at a point where the tickets prices would be, have to be $3,000 a game to make up for the economics of what you're going to want at the level. Because I'm assuming that the players are going to get paid more for being on the upper level.
Maybe they'll get paid more.
Right. So where does the money comes from? The renovations and the money comes from the things.
And the money comes from television.
Right. So don't deals so and stuff like maybe that. They don't want it. Maybe the economics are like, we don't care how many people come here.
It could be that. Could right? be. I mean, I don't know. We're looking at now where it's like, I guess attendance doesn't really matter anymore. You know, like TV deals are worth paying clubs. Because, I mean, we look at the A's.
Yeah.
I mean, just even our own town, we look at the A's and go, I mean, it doesn't really matter. There's players are still getting played or paid, and only 300 people are showing up to these games.
Yeah.
So it could be television. I mean, so there might be television
revenue. Might be something pretty quirky about that. That might be kind of fun.
Well, that's what everyone's talking about, because the entrance to the stadium where the players are going to entrance is literally looks like a garbage chute.
Right. Exactly.
It's amazing for them because they you know beat all the odds and had.
And by the way, and like you said, it's the only good of the weekend.
It's the only good of the weekend.
Right. So sorry, Miami. Sorry, Vegas. No. Joseph Newgarden.
We kind of knew that was happening.
It's the only good of the weekend. But that's true. That's pretty awesome, though. That's pretty awesome to be back in Premier League. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that a high school baseball team lost their state championship in the worst possible way.
I saw this story. This was a cool, not a cool thing, but it was one of those wild things.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon it and went, whoa!
You've heard of bad beats. This is probably the baddest of all bad beats.
This is a bad beat, without question.
So just to set it up, and I really don't know the high school teams, pitcher throws the ball to the catcher. Catcher drops the ball or looks like he picks it up from the dirt. Called third strike. Batter runs. And I could not, from that video, could not tell if the catcher actually tagged the runner.
I couldn't either.
But he went on, he looked like he did, and then went on to celebrate, but the umpire never called him out.
That's right, yep.
And there was already a guy on the base pass. They're up, the team's up by one, and those guys just started running.
Oh.
And by the time they realized what was going on, the game was tied, and then they went, hey, who has the ball? They did not know who had the ball. I think the catcher still had the ball, but he's off celebrating with the pitcher and everyone else, jumping up and down, having a great time. By the time they all collectively realized who had the ball, the winning run came across the plate. The umpires met for all of 10 seconds and declared that the other school was the winner.
Yeah, they should. And but I'm with you. I thought I didn't know if he tagged him or not.
I mean, it looked like he did.
Dude, it looked like he did.
Looked like he did, but you know, I mean, you got to turn and look at the umpire.
You've got to make sure that yes, there is a level of assumption, because we do see it a lot on the upper level. Like we will see a World Series clinching moment where they throw to first. And it's not that close, but it's like close. And the player catches it and immediately throws his glove. He knows it's out.
Or does what Anthony Rizzo did, right? I mean, when you do it right, I remember when the Cubs won the World Series, he immediately stuck into the back pocket.
Right.
So at least he knew where the ball was.
He knew where the ball was. So, but yes, if you are a high school kid, you need to make sure that the umpire sees what you did and calls it out, and that ends the game. But, yeah, this is going to haunt these kids for the rest of their lives.
I feel bad for that catch. I mean, if you didn't tag him, simple throw to first. I mean, that's a bang-bang play. Series over. Let the first baseman throw, like you said, throw his glove up in the air, run to the mound, and they all dogpile on the mound.
What if the catcher is like 20 years from now, they find him in bars, and they go, that's the kid. We had the state title.
Yeah. Well, he'll be disheveled, full beard. You want to hear his ghost story, son. Get over here.
Poor child. That's got to be devastating.
Yeah, it was that
devastating.
The worst way to lose a game.
I know. It's some of these stories. You know what's funny? It feels like every year we have something somewhere that's like this, where they're like, well, a team was trailing by six in the bottom of the ninth inning of the state playoff game, and they scored seven runs.
They just started walking everyone.
They started walking everybody. There's always something that occurs, a softball game, a track and field meet, something where you go, oh, that's crushing.
Track and field, that guy was celebrating with 10
yards
to go. That
guy was celebrating with 10 yards to go, throwing his hands up in the air.
There was a track and field story I saw recently in high school. Kid was disqualified.
Yes.
He crossed, right before he crossed the finish line, he rose his hand up and celebrated. And for whatever reason, you're not allowed to do that. And the guy was disqualified. And I think it was the 4x100 or 4x something. And I mean, he came flying around. He had to catch the leader and got past him and was winning by a country mile by the time he was done. But don't celebrate. I guess don't raise your hands and celebrate as you're crossing the finish line. Wait till after you've crossed the finish line. I don't know.
Wait till we're done.
But yeah, this, I mean, I couldn't think of a worst way to lose a game.
That is pretty devastating. Devastating. Because you have the euphoria of thinking you've won.
Yeah. Strikeout.
And then watching it fall apart. Yeah, strikeout.
It was a
strikeout. Second, strike three, but you haven't quite completed the deal yet. That is a crazy story. That is an absolutely crazy story. What's crazier? Is it the dumb? We've got that for you coming up next. Yeah, we got to dive into that. It's Tony D, Ron Culvert's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Good Tuesday to you.
Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is now finishing up the good, the bad, and the dumb. We did the good, the bad. Now let's get to the dumb here on your Tuesday. Glad you could be with us on Wake Up Call. What is the dumb of the day?
Well, man,
I touched on it earlier.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, there can only be one.
There can only be one,
and this one is not up for debate.
Oh, yeah.
And I honestly was very, very close to putting this as the good of the day.
Okay.
Because it's so intriguing? Being a Chargers fan, I absolutely love seeing one team implode. So if you didn't catch the news, Jimmy Garoppolo has failed his physical. And if he fails it a second time, it enacts something in the contract that makes the contract null and void.
Yeah, so the Raiders signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a very nice little piece of change.
It's not a huge contract
for a quarterback, for a starting quarterback in the league. But again, they're looking for their next star, their next quarterback. So they're using him as a placement. It was a 20-something million dollars a year, right? And so he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Raiders. He's getting all the attention from the brothels. And now he could, all of that could be gone because of the injury that he had on the injury.
The brothels might not be gone.
That might not be gone.
That could still be there.
I don't think they're following NFL.com news.
His good looks is not playing.
Yeah, they're not saying
we're
pulling down the offer because you had an ankle injury or foot injury. So we're pulling out the offer. No, he probably still gets to keep that perk of being a Raiders quarterback, but he may not be the Raiders quarterback.
Now, you had mentioned a certain person who could become quarterback.
That's right.
But I'm just going to let you know, on the roster at this point, QB2,
right?
The backup is Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, that's right.
So now, if we focus on who, which makes a lot of sense, because this guy has been a backup to him before, the illustrious, magnificent Tom Brady is he part owner now?
He's agreed to an agreement to buy a stake in the Raiders, a minority stake in the Raiders. So,
which is what he wanted to do in Miami a long time ago.
That's right. So
remember that.
Let's reset the Miami story. So the Miami story was what got Miami in trouble. They didn't have a first round pick because of this deal.
Yep.
In the draft back in April, was because Brady had retired the first time in Tampa Bay. Remember that when he retired the first time. The plan was that he was going to join the ownership group of the Dolphins, and then he was going to clear retirement, whatever that, you know, the process of the Buccaneers saying, okay, you are cleared out of that. And then as the part owner of the Dolphins, he was going to come out of retirement and be the quarterback of the Dolphins, and they were going to get Sean Payton to be the head coach.
Yep.
And then all that started to fall apart. Brian Flores' lawsuit sort of opened up that can of worms. And so there was speculation that he went back to the Buccaneers because he didn't really want to retire the first time. He just wanted to play for a different team and be a part of the owner of the Dolphins. So now that's being resurrected again because he retired from the Buccaneers the second time, but he doesn't have to clear this time. He's a free agent now. He doesn't have to. He finished out his contract with the Buccaneers. The first one, he had a year left, so he would have to go through the hoops of being cleared and allowed to play for another team. He doesn't have to do that now. The Buccaneers don't own his rights in retirement, kind of like the Colts did with Andrew Luck. He can announce today that he's coming back, and he can play for anybody he wants, right? So being a minority owner of the Raiders, there's a situation where Garoppolo's contract is 3-year, $72.75 million contract can be voided. And now Brady might go, you know, I just can't live in a world where I own a team where Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback.
Yep.
So, and he's going to be like, well, if you want to do it right, you might as well do it yourself.
Exactly. So, he has a responsibility.
The new boss in town.
He has a responsibility as part owner.
That's right. That's right. I told Mark I would do whatever I could as an owner to help us win. So now I'm going to be playing for the Raiders.
We got to put the best product on the field, Tony.
Yeah, he's not sitting in the owner's box watching Brian Hoyer throw passes.
And what I love most, too, is you sit back and then you look at it and you go, oh, wait, who's the head coach?
That's right.
Oh, God. Is he familiar with this head coach at all? Have they ever had any success together?
What is all this? Is this like The Secret or something? Like, what's going on here with this guy where the universe just sort of bends to his will?
Yeah. I think Jimmy Garoppolo fails the physical.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's written in the stuff.
You're messing with Cosmos.
If I'm Jimmy G, I already know the answer.
I know. I wouldn't even bother. I'd be like,
you know what, guys, you give me a little bit of severance.
I'm fighting the galaxy. Are you kidding me? Forget it.
Jimmy should just ask, give me my outright release so another team could sign me.
Yeah, what is he, Thanos? Is he just snapping his finger and all of a sudden, bam, Garoppolo is failing his physical. He's a part owner of the Raiders. Brian Hoyer is the backup and Josh McDaniels the head coach. What Machiavellian stuff is this?
When we were back to 2008?
Yeah.
2009? What was
this? This is Lex Luthor. I'm going to own Otisville and Lutherville, like, planning.
It's what they always dreamed of with the Patriots, Tony, that Josh McDaniels is going to take over someday. Bill Belichick is going to step down, but Bill Belichick never stepped down.
Exactly. He literally sent the two nuclear missiles in opposite sides of the country because Superman can't get to both of them at the same time. That's how Tom Brady arranged all this. What a plan this was. Goodness gracious. Oh my goodness.
It's all focused on the Dolphins. Meanwhile, he's cutting a deal with the Raiders all along.
Remember that scene in the movie Casino where Sharon Stone is walking around giving money to everybody? Valets, dealers, like she knows everything that's going on. Is that Brady around the league?
Yep.
Does everybody owe Brady a phone call?
Tom.
Jimmy Garoppolo is not healthy. You gotta hear this.
Check the foot again.
Trust me on this one. I'm not lying to you, Tommy. I'm not lying to you. And then he's making a phone call to Mark Davis. He's even buying a stake in the WNBA just to sort of cover the fact that he wants to be back in the NFL. Like, I'll even buy in that basketball league you're in. Whatever that thing, the WNBA.
What
yeah, whatever it is.
The
just
WBNA?
Send the paperwork my way. Yeah, the WBNA, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Send the paperwork to me. I'm in. I'm in on that. Then we'll talk about the Raiders later. Just calm, cool. I don't know what's going on.
It is. I mean, it's so fascinating. I mean, that's why Jimmy G, his foot has to be injured.
Yeah, right.
This contract needs to be voided. I don't know when the details of it are coming back up.
I know. I don't. Yeah, good point. Whenever that does, we'll be knowing about it.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday Night Live years back in the '80s did a skit about Ronald Reagan. And it was a skit where, because Reagan, when he was president, was kind of always like, oh, well, I need a nap. He was always perceived like he was like kind of your grandfather as president of the United States. But Saturday Night Live did a bit where, like, little children would come see him and he'd be like, I'm too old to know this stuff. But then when behind closed doors, he's like speaking in Mandarin. He's like organizing troop movements and he's, dealing with he's a brilliant strategist, but that's Brady. Brady has this perception like, I just want to buy a small stake in a league that I played in my whole career. And I just am so yucks, shucks. I don't even know. Meanwhile, his team has been working effortlessly to maneuver the pieces in such a way where he's what stops him from deciding tomorrow that he wants to be back in the league and play for the Raiders? Nothing. He just goes to the league. I'm back and I'm playing for this team and I own it. And sorry, Brian, I'm doing it to you again. What do you want?
I mean, I guess Garoppolo, the Raiders, it says the Raiders could terminate Garoppolo's contract for any reason related to that waiver that he signed.
Right.
And that Garoppolo will not be paid any of his $22.5 million base salary for the 2020 season or 2023 season until he passes a physical.
Oh, how did his agent get this? How did his
agent? Yeah, and
there
was something added. It was added after, after the fact. Like, I guess, you know, they added it after they found out he had surgery.
Seriously, do you honestly think the Raiders are going to go? This is who they have.
This is
Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell.
This is an escape clause, man.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding.
I mean, they can sit back and go, "No, we're just going to enact this."
No, we're good. Like, I'm just, like, seriously, like, there's no way a healthy Tom Brady is going to watch Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell battle it out in camp for the starting quarterback job of the team he just bought into. There is zero chance of this happening. Zero. He is going to – he's – oh, no.
Yeah, don't forget the fourth string guy is Chase Garbers.
Oh, that's right. Chase Garbers is on the roster. Who could forget him?
Yeah.
Where the hell did Chase – who the hell is Chase Garbers?
I just
Somebody
had to
give
look
me a background
up.
On him.
He's
did we make him up?
He's from he's a rookie.
Oh, he is? Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Oh, he's from Cal. Oh, yeah, okay. The Berkeley powerhouse?
Well, he might be allowed to stay.
Yeah, he might be allowed to stay is right. That's true.
He's a North Cowboy.
Because in the world of Tom Brady, yeah.
You could stay.
If you're from NoCal, you get to stick around and be on the roster. But if you're Brian Hoyer, you're not going to be the starting quarterback under a Tom Brady ownership.